Don't name names. Now we're on tape.
So I did some listening to Tony Parsons over the last several days, just some podcasts.
Uh-huh. Tony.
I like him. I mean, he's better than the average bear. I mean, it can be very annoying to listen to somebody like that because anything the questioner may bring up is the same answer every time, you know.
It can be, yeah, right.
But
yeah, that can be kind of infuriating. This wholesale negation.
I heard him with a large audience, and they just had a question about walking up the road.
Really?
And geez,
how did they come up with all those questions?
No, they must have edited it, but it was some pretty smooth editing.
Mm.
But because you couldn't really tell, either that or they were just literally passing. Mm-hmm. But I mean, he's a wholesale discount.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, of course, you know, but you know, that's hard. That's hard to take.
How did people in the audience respond to his replies?
Well, with a certain level of distant curiosity.
Mm-hmm. I mean, thanks, you know, but like, I don't get it.
Well, I mean, there is a mix. There was all of it. But there was a lot of, like, so it, what do you do then if there is no me? You know, it's that kind of thing, you know.
Ah, silly.
You know, so.
Yeah, I know.
It was hard for people because he will correct, just in your phrasing, you know, he'll correct.
Yeah, your phrasing, right.
So, you know, it's, but I mean, that's where he's coming from. He's coming from, you know, some place that's, he's very pure about it. He's not going to go halfway, you know, just to sort of dry in.
Uh-huh.
He's just going to go right to where it is.
Right.
Those kinds of things. So. But I can appreciate that.
What did it do for you?
I just heard somebody else saying a similar kind of thing. It's always a good thing. You know? I mean,
mm-hmm.
You know, this total discounting of the dream. And every single aspect of it. I mean, that's a big deal. You know, I mean, that's what we do here. But it seems as though there's not even playing.
Yeah. I mean, Tony Parsons is still playing in the dream. You know, he can claim as much not me, not self, non-existence of da-da-da-da-da as he wants. But, you know, that phrasing is occurring in, right, the repartee of the dream. So, of course, it has an exciting and an infuriating element. I mean, refutation is, you know, it's handy up to a point. But then it becomes you know, another philosophical fetish.
I don't know anything about his reputation.
Refutation. I know his reputation is terrible, no matter how you look at it. Refutations. Yeah.
I mean, for you know, for a lot of people, that's a little too strong. But you know, I think after a while, you hear enough of this. You know where he's coming from. You know?
Yes, but it's not about him.
Well, okay, but
right.
Your understanding, you know,
Well, that's just it. Is your understanding about your own firsthand experience, or is it about his experience, or his so-called lack of experience?
I guess it opens the door where if there's still doubts and clinging on, it's
right.
One more example of seeing a case where that has been broken.
I see. Right.
Supposedly.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, and that can hurt.
Right, it can hurt to be generally reinforcing that something might be going on with these crazy fuckers.
Reinforcing the negation.
Yeah. Right. But the funny thing is that, you know, negation doesn't get you anywhere. Positing stuff, it doesn't get you anywhere. It's not like Tony Parsons did a thing about a thing for him to, you know, soften into this understanding, whatever understanding he has. I mean, he was an avid seeker, right? I mean, he had an Osho background and all kinds of other stuff. He was no slouch, right, like everyone else. Obviously, there's no reason to reinforce it or biographicalize it. So, what does that leave us with? You know, the simple statement of present experience is without self. Thank you, Tony.
Like they say, it's pretty repetitive.
Yeah. I think the challenge is that how do you embark upon or participate in, let's say, a first-hand discovery of that revelation or the implication of that revelation? That's the question. Because you have your present, right? You have your present experience or experiencing at hand. And if you enjoy sojourning in a lofty philosophical manner, you can ask that question, what the fuck?
Yeah, I mean, definitely.
Yeah.
Enough is enough.
Yeah.
Well, I found it helpful because
Tony Parsons,
when you speak to me,
mm.
when I get tangled up in, and we'll call it the self, I don't know what it is. It doesn't matter. But you'll know that I'm in the story, and I won't.
Mm.
I'd be like, I only know when I get out of this story.
Uh-huh.
When I'm in the story, I'm like, da, 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 da.
Right.
You know? I'm Goldilocks and I'm in the story.
That's right.
Until I'm not. So, but
who did Goldilocks have a problem with?
The bears.
Bears, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Who's been sleeping in my bed? Uh-huh.
But I feel that at least regarding me, you have to be repetitive.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I think there's a pretty big difference in the way we do it here. And I really appreciate that difference, because if I had to go to a Tony Parsons meeting and you did that at every meeting, well, I wouldn't be going to too many of those meetings.
No, you wouldn't. Mm-hmm.
you know, it's just too much. Because you're sort of getting talked down after a while. I mean, and people, you know, this stream of people that ask questions and stuff like that, it's like, whatever. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's, you know, and that's the format, I understand that. I, maybe it's not like that in these little groupings or whatever.
If you right. Such
thing. Who knows?
Yeah.
But it would be difficult to endure that level.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're out of here, let me just sit somewhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
But I looked him up because, what's her name, Enduro, or, you know, that gal, that Japanese gal.
Novato.
Novato.
Nohara.
So, yeah.
I don't remember.
But, so when that came up, and I think you mentioned who was her.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. She's an awakened devotee then of Tony Parsons?
Evidently. I thought you said that, maybe somebody else.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean I didn't say it, but
mm-hmm.
So that's why she's on the It's Just Happening trip.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Presumably.
Yeah.
And she did mention it a couple times.
Yeah. Well, they're not wrong. Whatever that means. They're not wrong.
Hey, that's saying something.
That's, yeah.
Beth, the lights are okay, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they're fine. Thank you. you know, I mean, I set the lights a certain way because, like, we're, you know, broadcasting the thing, you know? And then you turn the lights down, and then it's just a gray shade. But no, it's, have it your way. That's fine. No, that's all right. No, I know you need,
online.
You need to have something to do. It gets pretty boring around here.
I might be laying down, and then if you're going to talk about Tony Parsons, then, yeah, we're going to start talking with the lights.
Talking about Tony Parsons.
People are trying to snooze, Jeff.
Yeah, no. Keep, yeah, that's fine. That's, don't. Don't pay any attention to me. That's right. Yeah.
He wants them to see his armor quite ahead, clearly.
It's very expensive for people to subscribe to this channel, and you don't want to just turn the lights down on them.
I made you some tea.
Hey, thanks.
Tea for the teacher.
That's great. Thanks a lot. I just finished my beer, so the timing couldn't be better.
You could probably put some cider in there.
Yep.
More if you want. I used to drink vodka with tea.
Mmm.
If you do it that way, it's not
as bad. It's medicinal. Medicinal.
It's like scotch and tea.
Scotch and tea.
Tea totally. And it was my tea turtle.
All the remedy.
Yeah, the default default consciousness entertains itself incessantly through projection, and presumes that this projection, which is being asserted in mental space, which includes somatic space too, you know, emotional, mental, somatic space. The presumption is that this projection is, turns out to be, you know, what I am, or is that Nostradamus guy again?
Said to my mother, she's like, nobody wants to see your face.
Yeah. We're going to turn the lights out. It's going to turn this place dark.
Guilt City.
total guilt. We'll see what happens, whether they cooperate or not. Dimmable LEDs. The confluence of sensation and projection and entertainment and thought and memory, all of which is impersonal and arising, you know, spontaneously. It's as much conditioned as it is unconditioned. Its presentation is easily felt as self. Therefore, your consciousness is always dependent on content. As self, consciousness is always dependent on content.
If it was possible to consider everything that is seen and heard and felt and et cetera,
yes, the big et cetera,
as self, then does that negate the little self?
Well, yeah, sure, why not? It's
it
just
sounds like you could state it that way as easily as
That's the difficulty, you know. Yeah. The implication, any implication that's felt through the lens of self or imagination or projection.
Which is all I got.
Well, not quite. It's all you have. It's all you have as a metaphoric container.
We're just speaking.
Yes, partly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, just, I mean, it's fun. If you take a light inventory, not a excruciating inventory like a 12-step inventory, just a very light inventory of what's appearing in present experience. In one case, it's, you know, infinite, overwhelming, and you should pass out. But in another way, it's like, oh, yeah, there's a little bit of this and a little bit of that and a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and big fucking deal, I got this. You know? It's interesting that it can be mind-blowingly nuanced and, you know, to the point of cessation, samadhi, passing out, or non-arising. And it can also be a, you know, very manageable field of elements in consciousness. And one is not at odds with the other. I think the disappointing side of the Tony Parsons style is that he seems to turn this into some kind of a destination.
Just by virtue of his speaking out.
The frame of reference that he associates with his understanding now becomes, because of its repetitiveness, becomes a fetish or a destination or something that we would measure ourselves against. But that's not what this is. Yeah, it's just happening. But so what? Right?
Seems to be the great corrector, you know. He puts things in the proper way. He expresses
pronouns. Yeah, but you can also see how tiresome that is, because we're not just investing all of this affection and volunteerism to correct one's vocabulary or phrasing or ideas. What? I mean, that just seems so pedantic in a way. And podiatriastic. Like putting your foot in your mouth. It's pedantic and podiatriastic and oral. There's more creativity is my hope. My hope that there's more creativity. There's more to play with.
Yeah, it's pretty stark.
Yeah, and it's not untrue, but it's also not all that, you know, great an idea to emphasize that over and over again. Because it's not just anything. It's not just what Tony Parson says. It can't be. It just can't be. You could say that, you know, that becomes kind of too limiting. Because the whole not-self thing, right, is, again, it's not untrue, but you have to rely on self or the not-self to have some, you know, relevance. What if you didn't do that? What if you didn't get caught in the hypnosis of the antithetical?
Well, see, that's the question that always seems to come up. It's like, well, you're telling me I can't do anything about it, you know? I mean, that's what he's saying, basically. I mean, it's like I can't lift a finger to it, you know? Like this.
But it's not true. It's just not true. It's a lie. He's either we're misunderstanding what he's saying, or he's a dumb fuck poser when it comes to that point.
Well, if I understand him, which I may not, he means Jamie can't, in his case, it's the self can't lift a finger.
Yeah, I could say that, but you could also say all the self is doing is just dying to wake up all the time. Mm-hmm. So it's all it can do. It's all it ever does, which is just as true as saying there's nothing you can do. It's all this ever does is like knock on its own door. It's all it can do. So, fuck you, Tony.
I can understand the correction of the idea of you can't build a knowledge base towards this.
But you can. Look at Buddhism. Look at Hinduism. Look at yoga. Look at everything.
Yeah, but does it get you?
Does anything? Can anything?
I think it's as likely as not as anything else.
But maybe it's as likely as yes. You see what I mean?
Yeah, because like everything in your experience is just a pointer back to this, so it doesn't fucking matter what
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, all you
like,
got.
Where are you trying to go?
Yeah,
but you know,
got
action. Just so there's some action, seems to me.
Okay, mm-hmm. Then sure, yeah, some action. But just to say there's nothing you can do is bullshit. It's just not true. You're already whatever this is or isn't. So doing is not even that important. But whatever you do, lends a hand. Whatever you don't do, lends a hand. Effort's great. Not effort, fantastic.
And
gaining a knowledge base, fantastic. Dropping it all, okay. You know? Warming up your pizza, great. Self-immolation, fantastic. You know? I don't... It's just too beautiful to be reduced to a Tony Parsonism. That's all.
I have a thought of a non-toy.
It looks like you have bunny ears, too.
Well, actually, I saw the play Harvey with my son, and there were some connotations in it around about AA, but there was also like this rabbit was appearing, you know, and nobody else could see him, but he was talking to him.
A woogie or something, right? A poogie?
Yeah, there was like a shamanic type thing in there. So, anyway, so with the rabbit. Anyway. But my point...
I am really trying to follow you.
Squirrel. So...
Really? Squirrel.
The other night, Kyle and I meet at Wegmans, where we're not allowed upstairs because it's Employee Appreciation Day.
Oh, I hate when I miss those.
Yeah, we crashed it last
time. You sneak in and get free food.
So, well, that's interesting that you guys
they got it out there.
And Kyle's like, look who is over there. And I'm like, stop messing with me. you know, you're driving me nuts, you're already late, blah, blah, blah. Guess who was it?
I can't guess. Who was it? Stefan Hylicka.
No.
No.
Bill Chase.
Uh-huh.
So,
working at Wegmans.
No. He's standing, like he wants to come over to the cafe section, which is really small.
Right.
Otherwise, he could have been like clear across the room and whatever. I might not have seen enough.
How amazing is you do? You'd run into him.
So Kyle's like,
your ex-lover.
Isn't this a Ron ironic?
Right. Right.
So there's a big part of me that wants to battle and fight and like go up to say something very, you know, government meaning and sarcastic to him.
Okay.
But I refrained and I walked away and I used myself in her little kitchenette area where I can look at tablecloths and whatever.
Okay.
Then I, you know, anyway, a series of things occurred along the same lines of this week where I'm up against a person or a concept that I'm in that loop, that knot. What's that called? Or a double bind.
Oh.
You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't.
Oh.
See?
Mm-hmm.
So you're up against this situation where you can't win.
But you're always up against that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That was my point.
Well, that's why this is so beautiful.
So, in a sense, Bill T has given me this, like, remarkable
spiritual revelation.
Spiritual revelation that you cannot reason with unreasonable.
But, which is yourself.
So you exactly. Like, I'm stuck in this situation with these three people that appear in my squirrel's mind.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. The squirrels are loose, and they're appearing with three different people. And it's like,
yes.
I can't win with these.
No,
people.
No.
How does RV La Fuca have anything
And you
to
can't
do
get
with
away from it.
Because I need an invisible rabbit friend to help me out and fuck people up with
it. Yeah. Oh. She wants a rabbit friend that carries a baseball bat.
Yeah, give him a little crack, trip him. Whisper some more, like whisper something in your ear, like you're an idiot. But you know, so it was interesting when we were just talking. I just thought about that. It's like, so if I drop the winning thing,
okay, right, yes,
and I don't need to win. It's just like, okay, I don't need to win this battle. I don't need to prove to you anything. I'm just like, it's frustrating in one way because you want that person, you want yourself to be different. I guess why it's so frustrating to me is that I'm stuck in a loop. Like, I want me to be different, or I, like, want my thinking to be different.
There you go. There's your Byron Katie turnaround.
Is it true that I want my thinking to be different?
Well,
yes.
Not really. You just want to fuck up your enemies.
Yeah. That could be satisfying too, yes.
Right.
Who would I be with that thought? This is squirrely, or this is like a loop that can't be won.
Yeah.
Who would I be with that thought?
Hmm.
I don't know. Pray, just like, what the? Why are these people appearing?
I bring up context again.
Sure. I don't remember putting 86 on context.
I am interested in working on seeing the context as identical with that which is not seen.
Okay. I hear you. Why not? That's a good puzzle.
So, because everything is...
Everything is
just this. Everything is this.
Okay.
But I don't necessarily perceive it that way.
Oh.
I mean,
so you just are you just blowing smoke up our ass then?
Yes, I have to stop and consider that this is so. Maybe not all the time. Most of the time, I really just don't think about it.
Yeah, most of the time, you don't even care.
But I do have this sort of, I mentioned before.
Yes.
Sort of a little bit of a snobbery, a snobbish attitude toward the, let's say, emptiness. That's beautiful. Context, you know, and I'm trying to change that because they're actually identical.
Yeah.
All that,
why not? Well, I mean, the way you're expressing it is, you know, fun. Nothing's actually happening. You're not doing anything. You're working with, you know, dreamed memes. Because you're the one assigning the meaning to something that's emptiness or not emptiness or context or not context or whether it's the same as or separate from. Whether your rabbit will come to your aid or... Mm-hmm. I mean, what?
Okay. I think I get that.
Yeah.
It's subtle, but... I think I get it.
It's subtle, and it's also it's subtle, and it's also all you got. You got whatever this is or isn't as it's presenting in your present experience in the way that it is. That's it. Like I said, it could be really small. It's a small inventory. There's some sensation going on. Maybe there's thought going on, comfort or discomfort in the body. You know, maybe agitation, maybe not, maybe some quiescence. Simplicity of mind, simplicity of presence.
Okay. In my interpretation,
yes,
of the context, I tend to chop it up.
Well, yes, it's chop upable.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, what we refer to as mind, let's say, nobody knows what mind is, and so you can refer to it 1,000 different ways, and you wouldn't be necessarily wrong or right. There's the presence of discernment, differentiation, objects, sensations, memories, feelings, things that are preferential, things that are not, things that are serendipitous, things that are easily taken for granted. All of this is arising, you know, so-called arising. You could say, it's not happening, but yeah, it's happening. It's fucking happening, right? Or it's just happening, right? Yeah, it's just happening. That which is arising in the way that it's arising, filtered through you, is what's so-called happening. You can assign and do assign to it, you know, meaning and preference and consequence. And then you try to steer this, you know, mix, this witch's brew of ideas in a so-called direction that appears to be preferential for you, psychiatrically, emotionally, circumstantially, right? Yeah, and there's a bunch of bracing. Somnambulism, excitement, engagement. But there's really nothing going on that needs to be reconciled with anything else that's going on. Context and content, sense of self, absence of sense of self. What are they? What? Tell me, are they what?
How would you even figure out if there was self or not? You know what I mean?
You wouldn't.
Out?
You wouldn't. Yeah.
It's like,
that's right.
And there's no figuring out anyway, right? I mean, you know, it's like, what's, like you're saying, what is there to figure out? I mean, you know, there's nothing. I mean, figuring out sounds like a thought process. And all that also ends up the same place, it seems.
Sure, it always refers back to something which, you know, either is or you want to be somehow experiential. What if all the experiencing can take care of itself? Wouldn't that be strange? if all that which all of the experiencing, that which is experienced, can take care of itself.
That's kind of a ponderation.
Okay. That's why we get the big donations.
Since we are the
take it on the road. Take that one on the road, Jeff.
Yeah, really. I can't even get invited to places that I try to invite myself to. Yeah, really.
Like, I'm experiencing this. That's exactly what I was just thinking, too. It's like,
I was reading your mind.
Yeah, it was me. It was all about me. Yeah, I mean, you can't win. You can't prove to this person that they're an idiot. You can't prove that that thing is an idiot. You can't.
No. So a lot of good it'll do you.
Yeah. Wish on by.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. There's no.
I mean, to the rabbit will deal with it.
That's a good handoff right there. Just give it to the rabbit.
It's a special kind of.
Mind the wolf. Get to your spirit animal.
Yep. Yeah. Worst case scenario, blame it on your imaginary friend.
Well, once you start.
Maybe best case scenario.
Didn't work out too well.
Drop dead Fred.
You could say people in recovery, have a lot to gain by making progress within the body of the step work, namely their lives. So when we approach things, from a recovery kind of bias, we have tools, right, and phrases and all kinds of pop notions of how to, reconfigure. Right? How to re-relate, reconfigure to whatever stress we imagine is occurring so that we can see through the implications of our own bracing or resistance or turning fatigue, anger, hunger, into permission to act out, permission to use. So, from that point of view, it's good to have a handful of tools at the ready, like placing a call to your sponsor or, doing some fourth step work, reading a book, going to a meeting, of course, right? Rethinking and reconfiguring the habits that, dysfunctional habits that gave you some kind of permission or justification to use. Because your life is on the line, right? Your sobriety is on the line, your job, your marriage, your children, everything's on the line, depending, of course, how severe an addict you have been or might be if you don't, right, commit and recommit. Now, we tend to take that same kind of bias into how we frame or experience our experiencing, meaning report upon our lives. Right? Like, I'm going to do this in the future. I'm just going to let this happen. I'm going to do this. Then I'm going to do this. If this happens, I'm going to do this. Then I'm going to do this. Right? So you end up, one can become kind of a preemptive strategist, which is its own burden, which is its own sorrow.
Because it never works, in my case, anyway.
It doesn't work.
I'm, like, frustrated with myself.
That's right. It doesn't work. And
for nothing.
It doesn't work, and you're not going to win.
Yeah.
So what happens if we drop the tendency to create mental or behavioral strategies? You are profoundly improvisational. You are profoundly intelligent. You can see through things. You can read through things. You can smell them a mile away. You can. So why not relinquish your stratagems to your own inherent sensitivity and intelligence? And not know what you're going to do with or about anything. Be light that way, which is you're not bracing. You're not in anticipation of things going sour and then how you're going to sweeten them. Yeah, that's nicer.
I think, maybe I'm wrong, but I think that fear is what motivates a person to have a plan. So going directly into that fear is freeing in those situations. You know, when you're looking for a substance.
Oh, sure, yeah. Right. Yeah, there's all kinds of things that are helpful. But, you know, thanks to Tony Parsons, you're not doing it. And if it works, it's not because of you. Like Noha or no whatever is saying, it's just happening. It's just happening. Yeah. But there's a playfulness to it. There's a sprightly, impish playfulness to it. There's a miraculous, improvisational bandwidth of incredible sensitivity available to you as you from so-called moment to moment to moment, because you're not actually bound by life circumstances. So even having strategies on how you might live with the exigencies of your life is, I could argue, for fun, a total waste of your time.
It's impossible. It's like when you walk into Wegmans and all your fucking nightmares just pop out. Dude, you got nothing. You're just like,
you got nothing.
That's all you're doing.
Yep.
Because you can't plan for something. Might as well head. You don't know what's going to happen.
Just head straight for the Oreos. Yep.
Right.
In my mind, everybody else has good strategies, is very creative, articulate, knows how to deal with those kind of sudden appearances.
So are you.
My best strategy is handing it off to the rabbit.
But that's a beautiful strategy. You know, that's a shamanic strategy.
Good one.
Yeah, hand it off to the rabbit. That is.
Look over and go, what do you think we should do? Yeah, really.
So, rabbit, how much trouble do you think we're in?
I mean, I do that with Fred, and it's not that much different.
Not really.
Fred, what do you think we should do?
I vote for eat something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's nothing a biscuit can't cure.
I have to see Peter Brown, and he's like, you know, like he says a million times over, this isn't about anything. And I looked at Fred and went, not even snacks. And in my imagination, he was like, now you've gone too far.
Now you've gone too far. Listen, if you want to do that Peter Brown shit, that's up to you.
This is not okay.
He said snacks.
Don't trespass on my snacks.
Bitch.
This non-duality, he's taking this too far. Yeah, I mean, your aspiration, which also goes against the grain of there's nothing you can do, your aspiration becomes more fine-tuned.
Because we're human beings. Let's have some fun.
That's one way to go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, maybe we are human beings, but what the fuck does that mean? I mean, it's kind of...
Not much.
You know, it's like, if what scale are you looking at human being? You know what I mean? Like, are you a solar system, or are you, like, a tiny biological... You know, I mean...
You know, when I...
You could be either one.
When I'm talking about human beings, I'm talking about some mind-body type of thing, you know.
People that go to friends meetings.
You could be, like, something bigger than the Milky Way, or you could be a tiny little dude on the planet.
But I think
depends what scale you're, like, framing it through.
Was that he's capable of having fun, whatever he is.
Believe it or not.
I don't think so.
Over there can have fun.
You don't think so, right?
Well, that's suspicious.
We know what you're capable of. Whatever framework arises in experience that insists that it is a legitimate framework through which to see, filter, or experience your present experience is, you could say, suspicious. But we get wrapped up in, easily wrapped up, you know, emotionally wrapped up. In a set of frameworks that somehow strangely please us at the same time that they're infuriating us. And oftentimes it feels like we just can't wiggle free of the influence of this predominant framework. So we therefore have a kind of, I would argue, somewhat of a narrow and repetitive bandwidth with respect to living our lives. That becomes now a very intimate exploration. To even consider that there is a preponderance of repetition in the bandwidth through which or with which you lead your life. Just to see that is strangely mind-blowing, because you've gotten enough distance away from your narcissistic inclinations to reconsider the right texture of your conditioning. Not that many people are really interested in even, I'm talking baby steps here, not big spiritual experience, just fucking baby steps, just a little bit off to the left, a little bit off to the right, maybe a few inches behind. And you're like, God, am I boring?
Am I what?
Boring. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Am I boring? I forget about everyone else. They don't care about me anyway. I mean, no one cares about you, which is a nice thing to hear. No one really cares.
It is a nice thing because it's more freeing in some, you know, you're not a slave to anybody, nobody cares. There's no, all of those other frameworks that come with feeling that someone cares about you.
Yeah.
Is like, they're all, they can all be like, oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Untethered.
So you can just shift a little bit this way or shift a little bit that way, and you can see, oh my God, why do I continue to think in the way that I think about the shit that I think about? Mm-hmm. And the condemnation of it, the thickness of it, the, you know, the regret, the vehemence.
First case scenario.
The attention seeking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Rarely do we ever take a little bit of an electron orbit leap to embrace ourselves in the way that we are so familiar to ourselves. We think that oh, this is as good as it gets. You know, I'm is as good as it gets. My content, what I'm sensitive to feeling, is it. It takes a little unnerving to reconsider what you might be capable of noticing or feeling or seeing, being touched by. Other vocabularies, other language, other memes, other implications.
It strikes me that as you kind of essentially let go of things because you're, I feel like there's things that they don't excite me that much anymore. You know, it's like,
yeah.
So, you know, they just sort of get smoothed over and you bypass a lot of that stuff. But then it's almost like, well, they're, okay, so now what? You know, what's next? And so, but I don't think there would be this and now what if that was still actively popping, you know, if all this other stuff was like gratifying somehow. So, yeah. You know, I think there is essentially a learning, a realization, I guess, that all this jazzy stuff that might have held your interest is not really holding any interest anymore.
That's an interesting process, path, journey to see. Yeah, absolutely.
And so, but there's still this energy underneath, and it's like, this energy is like, well, you know, and...
Uh-huh, it is,
you
know.
So it's like, where do you get it? And really, right. It seems to be that it's more, you come to a more of a distillation process, you know. It's not always glam stuff. And by glam stuff, I mean, you know, hanging out with the buds at the bar or whatever, however you get your rocks off.
Yeah, whatever it is that you're, you know, doing.
I was a little disconcerting because music that you, well, you know, but that's repetition too, and I'm not one to experiment too much with music.
Welcome to the Hotel California.
I've certainly never heard it sung.
Yeah.
That was the original.
We're considering a rather profound, a rather discontinuous sensitivity. So that present experience is not hijacked by the repetition of self and then condemned to be felt as a person on a planet. So the unlearning, the reconsideration of the evidence at hand can be absolutely fun. And we can see as we play with it, let's say, as we reconsider the evidence at hand, we will come to notice the incredible appetite for repetition appearing in our experience, right? The repetition of knowledge and assertion and presumption and space and time and self and memory and identity.
Story.
Yeah, all of which comes as, you know, story. Or even subtler than story, you know, appears as a kind of a preemptive identification, a preconditioned identification that story appears to reinforce. Yeah. I mean, it's very curious to consider the nature of your own arising without taking anything at all for granted. Huh, that's shit. What the fuck? without taking anything at all for granted, this being as it is, right on.
Can I split hairs?
Would it do me any good to say no?
Well, I'd like to know if you think that I'm just being stupid, just so you can say
yeah,
that.
You're pretty stupid.
Okay, but wait till you hear it. This particular...
Oh, yeah, I want me to hear it first.
This particular hair
you need to reserve judgment until I get the hair splitting.
So, you said... Now I don't exactly remember. But sorry. You said, consider the arising, and I'm... The hair splitting is,
yeah.
If you consider the arising,
yes.
You're going to miss it because you're considering it.
Okay. Yes, of course.
Yeah, meaning you're not open to it.
Meaning that if there's any kind of...
You're putting some pressure on
it. If there's any kind of gears going, any kind of gears, but it's. I mean, I really want to know if that's true.
You know? Well... Again, it depends on how thick you want to make it. I can't possibly be speaking through any sense of authority, or there can't be any reliable consequences to what I might be, musing about. There just can't be, because this is just evaporating, right? It's a sand trap. It's disappearing out from under your feet, so... These kinds of poetic liaisons are just a way of, conjuring texture. And by conjuring textures in your experience, in our, call it mutual experience, if there were such a thing, then your attention, your sensitivity gets a chance to swim a little bit.
Mm-hmm. You just sense for what that is.
Yeah, that's right. You have to back off from the dock and, take a few strokes out to the middle of the lake and not know. And just feel what your present experience feels like in the way that it does without having to fulfill something that Tony Parsons says. Or I would say, and I don't put ourselves in the same ballpark, he's actually a legitimate realized guy. Or Novato, whatever her name is. Right? Yeah. You consider your present experience in light of what? In light of your present experience. With what do you got? Well, you got the weird radiant texture of your present experience. And if you're not running a deep story, which is part of, you could say the beauty of getting together is the opportunity to participate, volunteer in a relaxed, loquacious environment where you don't have to be running, a fuckload of story. It's a lullaby. This is a lullaby. Ah. And as you find yourself in a circumstance with other people where you are given permission, encouraged, to just not run story, to let your present awareness and the textures of present experience kind of float freely, reconsider yourself, an opportunity to recalibrate, reconsider yourself, then that's nice. That's nice. It's egalitarian, right? We can't insist what this is or isn't. I mean, there's no point in repeating something that sounds like some kind of a non-dual truism. Well, fuck that. That stuff's trivial. You always want to stay ahead of the curve, But when they're writing Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind, or Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance, you want to be, at the Advaita of motorcycle maintenance. And if someone starts writing the Advaita of motorcycle maintenance, like Wayne Lickerman and other people, or Paul Hederman making a living, or Adyashanti making a living commenting on the Bible or the 12 steps, right? Everyone's got a fucking book commenting on the fucking 12 steps. You want to be one step ahead of these fuckers all the time. Because they're dead.
They're settled on something.
That's right. They're settled on something, and they're they're spewing out another, you know, piece of written literature to a jaded audience.
But yeah, and it's funny because they've settled, they're able to attract an audience.
That's right.
You know, because people can get some kind of framework together. When you jump around a lot, there's no framework, and it's like people are like, I don't know, you know.
This quality of being together is the fruit of, call it stillness practice, the fruit of mindfulness, the fruit of, you know, meditation, becomes interactive, becomes thoughtful and considerate and imaginative. The mindfulness speaks. Mindfulness speaks. You know, books about silence speaks. You know, this is mindfulness speaks. Mindfulness feels. But not mindfulness, you know, from the point of view of, you know, that guy in Worcester, Massachusetts. You know, this is, I'm trying to think of his name.
Yeah.
It's like an entire mindfulness program.
You mean like
Zen? Yeah, yeah, Zen. The Zinster. His friends call him the Zinster.
The Zenmeister.
Zenmeister. Yeah. John Cabot, Rope-a-Dope. Yeah. We don't want to enroll in a fucking mindfulness program.
It's another program.
This is nothing. This is way more fun than mindfulness. This is actually nothing. Which suggests you can really play with this shit. You can really enjoy yourself. You can bust free of mindfulness. You can bust free of programs. You can bust free of whether this is happening or not happening, or whether it's happening to you. You're like, I don't give a shit about any of that. And by losing the loyalty that we might have for these kinds of, you know, programs or, you know, dead philosophies, you have a chance to, you know, push it off from the dock and go out to the deep part of the lake. Oh, what the fuck? You're not bound by having been something, hoping that by doing something, you'll become something other. You're just not bound by it. You're not bound by time, or that you used to be something and it sucked, and you're giving it your best effort for it to stop sucking so much. So, like, even that, it's just gone. Really gone. You liquidate in your own shoes. Representation may appear, but, you know, you don't wrap it around your neck. Not like you're completely undistracted, but you're not completely distracted. I mean, God, really, really feel the novelty of each passing, each, what, beat, each breath, the novelty of each beat, the novelty of each breath, the novelty of it all, without going to objects. Fuck, I mean, you're really just pouring forth in absolute disembodied novelty. I don't want to have a strategy. That would ruin everything. here it is, right? The unabashed presentation of absolute unfettered novelty. Just like this. Figure what out? Do what about what? Anticipate what? Brace for what? You are the living revelation of novelty, with no grasping, no boundary, no content.
You know, I can just hang out in this spaciness, I'll put it.
Yeah.
But the spaciness is there's not the strong pull that maybe I would have had before about some intellectual dialogue or something like that, although that may go on.
Well, that's a hallelujah right there.
Yeah. I mean, but it goes on in a more casual way, you know, it's just going on. It's what's going on. It's what's for dinner. You know, but there is the spaciness. And the fruit seem to be the spaciness. Is that, I mean...
That's right.
Maybe it's just an immature...
Not necessarily, no.
Thing.
What do you got? You have this luscious... spaciness. That's the fabric of reality. That's the fruit. Novelty. The simple observation of absolute novelty, felt very intimately, as in presently. Like you would see a beautiful tree or a beautiful face or a beautiful something. Here you are staring into your original face, which is speechless novelty. See, in this, from this, you could say, you know, spaciness, right? Texture, weave. Context is an idea. Content is an idea. That something could be other than something else, or that, you know, some kind of preferred merging would benefit us somehow. It's like, huh? What? If you don't produce the world, then you don't have to remedy it.
That's a nice one. That's a nice postcard.
Have her loaded with them. Should start selling them.
That one about the bitch.
The bitch one's good, yeah. I like that. It's a good one. Yep. If you don't produce the world, well, you don't have to remedy it.
The pressure is off.
The pressure is off.
It's pretty ridiculous that, in my opinion, anybody thinks they're going to remedy anything anyway. You know? But.
Well, we got burning, man.
Feel the burn.
Feel the burn. You got to believe.
I'm a believer in the beaver.
The beaver?
Beaver, just beaver.
What, Zoolander?
It's just a saying.
Oh. Jamie's a believer in the beaver.
I'm a believer in the beaver.
What about Martha Stewart,
who was suggesting
to
the most suggestive
movement she's ever?
I gotta listen up.
she was being roasted, and she was being
cracked.
It could turn out to be in your favor somehow. To feel what it feels like not to produce the world. Get used to it. Discover that your affection, present affection, is capable of resting, free from the impulse to produce the world. That would certainly be more to the point than spending a life cultivating remedies. You know, teachings that are sold that become a Eckhart Tolle calendar. These fall within the realm of remedy.
Yeah, pretty goddamn scary. Thanks.
That's funny. Because we do, we just turn everything into a fucking calendar.
The power of now calendar. Eckhart, is it still now or is it like Saturday? Oprah Winfrey must have a calendar, doesn't she? Or Wayne Dyer? Wayne Dyer has a calendar. It's a posthumous. Posthumous calendar. Everyone's got a calendar. Deepak Chopra's got a calendar, right? Does Byron Katie have a calendar? We should do one.
I don't know. I've never really been on Byron Katie, but anyone that's selling anything generally seems to.
Generally has a calendar. Sooner or later.
My cousins have a calendar.
Your cousins do?
Yeah.
All right.
Damn bitches.
What's their calendar about?
It has pretty pictures, maybe that they took somewhere, or maybe that they just, you know, got offline. And it says, you know, William Shank and Sons, construction company.
Oh.
They stole from my father.
Those are your cousins, right? The Shanks? Yeah. Right. I know those guys.
The guy that lives, that owns my property, is down there, and he gave it to me and said, so you can plan your year. He's like, shopping, like, if I get through the next
Beth
hour
use,
planning.
Beth could use a calendar if you have a nice...
That's probably why you didn't do that. You saw that.
She needs one. She's looking for a 2016 calendar with big boxes that she can write in her appointments. Yeah. She's not a digital gal. She's an analog gal when it comes to calendars.
Let my life go to shit.
Yeah. I keep using 2013 calendar, and I can't get to any appointment on time.
I know, it's funny. I randomly checked in, like, Night Sky Sangha calendar instead, or something, instead of Night Sky Sangha, and somehow I got the 2014 calendar up on the web today, and I was like, I'm looking at right now, it said Craniosacral and Peter Brown Retreat.
Oh, wow, cool.
It was 2014. I was like,
nice.
Hey, we were having rock hops and everything.
Yeah.
2 years ago.
Oh, we'll do it. We should do a dance, yeah.
We'll do a dance. What were you having 2 years ago?
Well, Jeff brought together sort of a rock and roll type
thing. The donkey.
The donkey.
It was pretty cool. You guys saw it.
Dance your ass off. Ask your dance off.
Ask your dance off.
Yeah.
Dance your
Pebble Hill gave me a problem about that.
Listen, you know, he just enjoy giving you a problem.
Oh, so about the fact that you used the word ass.
Ass your dance off with a picture of a donkey. Yeah, that was a problem.
Everyone does that. They're just people are stupid. We were just saying, I guess some people have
issues. People are stupid.
People have issues with the damn cafe. It's damn good cafe.
Damn good, yeah, right.
It's like, you know, there's a dam around the corner, and my last name is Dam. Like, it has nothing to do with, you know, like a donkey is an ass. Like, it's not even a curse word. It's
just, yeah.
You know.
Who cares?
He meant, like,
jeez.
You're just that immature. It's like, we can't wait to make anything, turn anything into something.
Pretty much goes that way.
I was walking past the table today.
And you turned something into something?
And they were from Australia or somewhere, and they said, these Americans, they just like to complain about everything. And there you have it.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, we'll take you to the airport.
Well, they were complaining.
They were making an observation.
So you do this poetic mindfulness encounter. You feel what it feels like not to create the world, to be free from the implication of requiring a remedy. And that's what you do. That's what there is to do. You do that, and you can do that. And you can do it more than once. And you can return to it. You can feel it. You can feel it again. You can actually invite the harmonic of revelation and the harmonic of realization into your life through, dare I say, effortful volunteerism. Because you're capable of feeling this without creating a world and being free from the myth and implication of requiring a remedy. That's what, and that's what happens. You invite that into your life like you would go bowling or watch the newsroom or Lucifer. You invite that feeling into your life. You're fond of it. So you do things, go places, make appointments, hang out with people in a certain way where that is honored, respected, understood, true, reinforced. And then you bring that out into your life in the way that you do with the people that you meet or encounter. And you more depthfully feel what this feels like when you don't create a world. You don't know when, you know, it's going to sneak up on you and then, right, go to the other side of the seesaw. So at the early stages of this, you know, there's a lot of, hormonal imperative, distraction imperative. And so you start eking out your mindfulness practice in the way that you do, right? It could be recovery, or it could be evangelical relation with Jesus or ayahuasca, or all of those at the same time. Right? And why not? Why not? Yeah, and so you go to retreats and you make commitments and you read books and you go to the Clearwater Sangha and shit. And you figure this out. You relax through it. As you mature, you discard a bunch of stuff that used to speak to you somehow. Mm-hmm. And you find new things that speak to you more deeply, more to the core of you, as you come to understand the core of you more depthfully. Yeah. And then you discard another bunch of stuff, and then you move on to some other more subtle material, and you're following this scent of release from the world, release from remedy. That's how it feels. And you do that. You actually fucking do that. Fuck you, Tony Parsons. Really, that shit pisses me off. Mm-hmm. Now, you could say there's no guarantee or causal relationship between whatever you may cultivate in the beauty of your life and, you know, getting some kind of slam bang, you know, spiritual event. But guess what? There needn't be. There needn't be. You just keep relaxing. You just keep chilling out. according to your nature.
Yeah,
according,
stress out over that?
According, people do.
Sure.
So many do, and that and part of that problem is because Tony Parsons and other motherfuckers like him teach the way that they teach. They sell the way that they sell. They create the the shallow projection of celebrity, enlightened celebrity, enlightened meat, with their vocabulary. So silly. Much nicer to just like, oh yeah, this shit's awake. Fuck yeah, I'm awake. I like the way this feels. Fuck yeah. That's what you do. Apply yourself, because you're conscious, because you're vivid, because you're novel. You're not inert. You're not a victim of anything. You are this. You are the novelty that this is. How is it possible that there's nothing you can do? It's crazy.
There is nothing you can
do. And there's nothing
you
can do.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't quite make sense. It depends who you're talking about. You know what I mean? Are you talking?
That's just it.
What defines you? Like, I mean, you got to define so much shit to even make that dumb statement.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
Well, it's funny.
The entirety of whatever it is that's occurring, that you're doing all of it, and so.
Yes. What's uncanny is the fractal revelation of your present experience. How that languages itself can say anything it wants. It can say there's nothing you can do and feel, wow. Or it could say there's nothing you can do and feel like, ugh. Or you could say, do everything. Wow, do everything. Oh.
That's it. I was getting like, there's nothing I can do about this. This is like,
yes,
terminal.
Yeah.
This person is never going to change. There's nothing I can do about this.
That's right.
Or I can be like,
there's nothing I can do.
There's nothing I can do about this. I can't even do a fucking thing about myself.
There you go.
Can't do anything about you, but I don't need to step in that dirty pond anymore.
Okay. There you go.
You know, I don't need to go listen to idiot number whatever next door say something stupid. You know what I mean? I don't need to step in that dirty pond anymore.
That's true.
I probably will step in it again.
Okay, but that's because you're a loyal friend.
You know?
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, feeling your present presence, noticing that it's not necessary to create a world, that there is no secular reality that is imposing upon you.
Imposing upon you.
There's nothing is imposing upon you.
Upon me.
No. Yeah.
And there's the self.
That's right. That's right.
To a lesser degree or degree, I'm still attached to things, people, places, and things.
Well, you say that now.
Maybe I don't have to be.
it's just that any association that you may make presently with people, places, and things is, you know, that idea. You don't really know what you are. You can't really say, I'm attached to anything.
No, I guess I can't really, but...
You might like to think that you're attached to things. Or you might like to think that there are things that you would prefer being attached to. But that's just creating a world. You're creating a world. So Tony Parsons is not saying any more or less than what we're playing around with. He may be a little bit glib. And there's no real need to draw attention to himself about what his experience or his so-called condition is. Because it's quite clear he has no experience and he has no condition. That can be, you know, taken out of the closet or shown to anyone. So it's, I think it's just more fun to, you know, chill out and play around with the texture of non-arising. In the midst of non-stop arising. There's no stress. Trying to explain it, or the so-called implications of it, to someone, again, just becomes kind of a curious philosophical exercise.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, you know, gets pretty tiresome after a while.
Yeah. Hour and a half of that.
That's right.
It fills every minute of that hour and a half.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting kind of, seems to be a shift between, like, sort of realization, like service. We were talking about service for some recently, I don't know, but service being either you actively physically doing something or basically trying to prove your point, telling someone something, as opposed to just being available and present as service.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very different kind of way of seeing it.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry, what are you saying about it, though? Are you making this statement? What's your point?
Never mind.
Oh,
it's not really, it's something he said, it's the same thing he said earlier, just used it with a different word. Not a big deal.
Our habit is to project and create a world that we find ourselves in as a creature. Right? That's what we do. We create, we externalize the appearance of a world that we find ourselves in as a creature. So then circumstances and events are an imposition. If they don't go our way. They're an imposition even if they go our way. Because they're non-satisfactory. Even if you win. And that's why you could say we become neurotically extinction bent, like hell bent, on trying to win and trying to win and trying to win and trying to get satisfaction from the mirage of having created a world where circumstances and events are binding on self and need to turn out a certain way for us to be secure. And no security ever comes, regardless of the wealth and the power and the violation of the wealth and the power. Somebody can piss you off. Someone can take advantage of you. They can manipulate you. They can lie to you. You know, you can get invested. You can get angry and hurt and anxious and roil around in it for a while. What the F? That's cool.
But you just don't need to step in that dirty pond.
When you don't need to, you don't need to. Yeah, that's right. As these habits, right? Habits of engagement. Relax. They are reconsidered. They are refabricated. You could call it, you know, neuronal patterns or sparking wider possibility, wider elasticity. So behaviorally and identity-wise, it becomes, you know, more organic, more natural to sidestep certain kind of conflict, certain kind of disappointment.
I don't feel like this fight. I like, you know, there's a part of me that likes.
I would never have said that about you.
Careful, Jeff. I got rabbits and wolves on my side.
Yeah, really.
Squirrels are leaving.
Rabbits, wolves, and squirrels. Just imagine all that in your house.
As if you'd never had a fight.
Right. Projection there.
That's all I got.
Yeah, right? Yeah, because I was thinking about that. You know, you kind of like you wanted to fight.
There you go. That's the gusto.
What's your group about? Our group is about a fight.
Fight Club. First rule of Fight Club. There is no Fight Club. Imagine an invitation to absolute cessation is presented to you. How many reasons might you have to say no thanks? It's kind of that simple. I got all this shit to do and these obligations and there's stuff I haven't shared with my kids or my wife or my... Because if I just disappeared suddenly, like in a car accident or something, boy, it would leave, you know, just a mess of unfinished business behind. And so you can create like 1,000 no thank yous in an instant if someone says to you, ticket to cessation? ticket to cessation? Oh, no. Thanks a lot. Yeah, really. You know,
it's
what?
Back in a year.
Wednesday. Can I meet you here on Wednesday? You see? It's really funny because that's what we're up against. We are.
Control.
Well, yeah, you're being invited. You're being solicited. Jean Klein used to use that word a lot. You're being solicited. He's just stalking you. Yeah.
It's a little different.
I like the stalking part.
Solicitors do stalk.
They do.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they do. Especially when you owe somebody money.
Stalkers don't solicit.
Okay. I never heard that from that.
Just head to a car dealership and look up for a car. You don't want yourself to get solicited and stalk.
I never heard back from that Byron Katie gal when I sent her my resume.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
Did you?
What a
shock. Did you?
That was a funny one.
That was good. She, did you see it? She's the one that listed, like, you
everybody's
know.
Everybody's always, like, highlighting all the dumb
childbirth,
shit they think they've done in their
you know,
life.
All these items on her CV.
It's just funny.
She mentioned...
She did. She said, you're funny.
It's so socially unacceptable to just be like, I'm a loser. Today, I exceeded losership.
I sent it to her.
That's why I needed a paper calendar.
She never responded.
How big does this have to be? Can you just
surprise
out every month?
I just got, you know, it's a new year and I didn't get the new one.
Yeah, but you could print one up.
When you have a popular and successful when you have a popular and successful life helping people, you don't have time for comedic assholes. You're too important. You're too busy. You're too successful helping people.
Well, we got a way out of it. We didn't need her to be.
That's all we're looking for. Just a little chuckle. Chuckle a day.
Although, really, I don't find any greater fault with that than any other CV or resume type of thing. I mean, they're all like that.
She mentioned her childbirth. I mean, I have never seen that.
I know, that's very unusual, but, you know, like...
Two of them.
I don't know what position she's going for. If she's going for the position of just getting other women interested in her thing...
Because she was the first one with the best. I was like, I'm good right there. Like, I was a successful athlete.
She was the youngest. In the Olympic. Something to do with that. I forget. In Korea.
Yeah,
that's Maria Soul.
Oh my
goodness.
Yeah.
She was there then.
She would have listed that.
I am a proud Korean American. This is a. It's an occupational life is an occupational hazard. Trying to get our lives right through emotional forbearance and Buddhistic paramis, the perfection of, you know, things, and shit like compassion, you know, useless shit like compassion. Stuff like that.
That you get paid for.
Really.
Then,
you know, you could see how we are, right, enrolled in the myth of human-dom, behaviorism, circumstance and outcome and preference and consequence, and always projecting in the future about how things or we or the world are going to be better by virtue of the choices that we make. And this is just absolute hallucination. Real or unreal, I don't know. It's just, it's hallucination. If hallucination is appearing, then it's real. Or if hallucination is appearing, it's unreal. I don't know what to call it. But you can see that there's no... you can feel that there's no mirthful intelligence that gets lit when you continue to be enrolled in the never-ending loop and circle of trying to perfect yourself as a human in time, as a creature in time. It just blows, man. It just really blows. So all of this stuff that... speaks to that, enrolls its students and devotees and cash paying, right, multi-level marketing thing into the myth of human, the myth of the idealized human. It's like, holy fuck. Maybe it's a little more radical or strange, or in my case, I would say it's just a lot more, it's a lot more satisfying, it's a lot more nourishing to reconsider and reconfigure that this might not be something I need to do anything about to optimize the human. That in itself is a profound window into, you know, liberation, and therefore you could argue maybe a little bit rarefied. I thought this was anti-gravity feature. You just throw it up and it stays. Oh, we're going to take him.
Did they get that? Or
and then he threw the pizza.
Aren't we on the space station? The pizza just kind of like floats around.
Well, at least it landed on the corner. So it didn't go face down.
Yeah. Ooh. I'm such a loser, right?
You can put that on your resume, on your CV.
Perpetually drop my own pizza.
Dropped pizza on the floor.
What a bummer. Yeah.
One time when I was in the middle of saying something really profound, I dropped a pizza on the floor.
I just dropped my pizza.
It was awesome. One time in 1992.
Well, 2014.
2014.
That's when everything happened. Well, that's pretty much that. Just, it ran just like a Tony Parsons meeting. You don't know him?
Really either. I think I just saw him talk once, and I hated him, and that was enough for me.
There you go. And I think he giggles.
Looks like
Satan.
Any
questions?
I keep forgetting to bring money. And it's
out. That's a likely story. I'll just throw a slice of pizza in the envelope.
In that envelope?
I don't know. It's for, you know, it's for the church, not for me. It's all for a good cause.
I actually don't have $1 back for
you. You can put them in there. I don't want you cursing me later.